Welcome to ChrisCast episode 40, season 1, episode 40. It is, I believe, the 16th of November, 2020. And I just finished watching the final episode of the season of Last Week with John Oliver. Last Week Tonight with John Oliver. And it was good. It was awesome. I love that show. I'm really happy to see Trump go, just because now I can watch comedians without feeling disgusted at how low they go. But this episode is not about that. It is about Build Back Better. It is about the reset, the global reset. It is about an exploration of every single conspiracy theory I've heard, and more likely scenarios. And you can hear that right after the break. Mahalo. See you right back here. Hey there, in the next segment you are going to hear me refer to 2030 as being 6 years away, and that's because my head's already in 2024. So I do realize that it's 9 years away to 2030. So I just thought I'd do that, and to slow myself down instead of living in the future, I will now read you the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen. And now, on to the next segment, where 6 years is actually 9 upside down. Mahalo. Welcome back to episode 40, ChrisCast. My name's Chris Abraham, and this is where we're going to explore reset, 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 build back better, build back butter, build back better. It is an exciting time to be alive, especially these are the most interesting time if you believe that there is a global conspiracy towards depopulation and authoritarian oppression the world over, which I like thinking about, but probably don't believe. I don't believe anything happens, really. I believe nothing actually happens in America. I believe that every single instance of despotism or control or oppression or fascism or any of that kind of stuff is really just opt-in, you know? I will be really excited to see if there's some sort of crazy baller move in the next, I think, 6 years, because a lot of these things are foretold to happen in 2030. 2030, we have 6 years that America is going to transition to a lower population, greener paradise, where America and the world integrated together, transitions peacefully, violently, from a self-centered, nation-state-based, tribal, jingoistic, xenophobic, border-controlled, racist, sexist, white supremacist, oppressive, xenophobic, if I didn't say that yet, appalling, Nazi state to a kind, beautiful Star Trek Federation. Now, there's a great saying that is never let a crisis go to waste. Hey, Google, who said never let a crisis go to waste?
Sorry, I don't know how to help with that. Here are other things you can
Alexa,
try.
who said never let a crisis go to waste?
This might answer your question. In the book Tribe of Mentors, Short Life Advice from the Best in the World, author Timothy Ferris writes, "Never let a good crisis go to waste." It's the universe challenging you to learn something new and rise to the next level of your potential.
Well, I do not think that,
Sorry, I'm having trouble. Please try in a little while.
I do not think that Tim Ferriss is the guy who came up with that. I believe it was someone like, let me pause and find out for you. I know it because I thought Rahm Emanuel said it, never let a good crisis go to waste. But apparently Winston Churchill said never let a good crisis go to waste in the mid-40s as we were approaching the end of World War II. So, never let a good crisis go to waste. So we have a reason to control people's movement, people's behavior, people's interaction, how people get together and congregate. We have the ability to get people off the roads. We have the ability to get people to stay in their homes and houses. We have the ability to separate the old in retirement communities and nursing homes and hospitals from the young. This is a perfect time to transition and reset, not just the country of the United States, but it's a perfect time to change everything. All these things first came out after the Great Recession in 2008 and 2009, 2010, whatever. But now they're really exciting, right? There was proof earlier this year that Gaia, the Earth, the environment, had a little bit of time to self-heal. And we know that the Earth and nature and us and animals and plants and the air and the biosphere, we know that they desperately are able to heal themselves. And I'll use an analogy. And they did over the summer. They did a lot of feral animals and wild animals incurred into populated areas and so forth. And my analogy is my heart disease, right? I'm fighting that, and the more stress that I take off, the more general stress that I take off my heart, the better chance my heart has of repairing itself, right? When I lose my all this weight, it will take a huge strain off of my heart, and my heart will be able to heal itself. And the drugs and therapies that I've been given have been allowing my heart to heal itself. I'm not even in heart failure anymore. So, like my body, which is trying desperately to become healthy, it's working towards health. And my behaviors, such as gluttony and sedentariness and sloth and all of the sins, it's making it harder and preventing and throwing a logjam into my body's natural attempt through healthy eating, being within healthy limits of weight and fitness, and what I eat, how much I eat, the gluttony, the type of food, etc. These things are the logjam towards my body healing itself. Now, same thing can be said about internal combustion engines and the resulting exhaust, the use of gas and oil and the resulting carbon dioxide and carbon monoxide, the urbanization, the suburbanization, the use of the forest clearing in order to either clear land for raising animals or for using and or using that that wood for IKEA, let's say, or for the production of North Carolina furniture, or just the production of paper products that we use every day. The use of oil to produce Alexa, stop. To produce, it's 8 o'clock. That explains it. I have her reminding me things at hour upon the hour. Using oil to produce plastics and so forth, and plastics are thrown away, and we pollute the water, we pollute the air, we pollute the water that we drink, we pollute the water that that nature lives in, we destroy biospheres, we make it impossible for animals to find their own homes, any number of things. And we just do not give the world an opportunity to heal itself. We also have... Hey, Google, what's the current world population?
In 2018, the population of Earth was 7,594,270,356.
So that's 7.5 billion people on Earth, right? I do not wish any of them harm. I almost wish that if we're going to depopulate the planet or reduce population fairly, that we had a Thanos, because he could snap his fingers and make it make it egalitarian, where there is the blind eye of justice as to who needs to leave the world to offer space on it for other people. It's that awful decision that governments need to make when they expect at the 11th hour, 59 minute, 59 second, there to be a global thermal nuclear war. Who is worthy enough to bring into the deep underground bunkers? And who needs to fry up on the planet's surface? By the way, I'm up on the planet's surface. I want to be the first to die during a nuclear war. But that's the, you know, that is the challenge, right? Who lives, who dies? I don't know if you heard, but everybody is talking about three things. Build back better, the Great Reset, And no, there's just two. I think there's just two. Oh, three. Build Back Better, The Great Reset, and The New Normal. I knew I had three. And let's talk about that after the break. Welcome back to episode 40, Chris Cast, 11-16-2020. So, what is Build Back Better? Hey, Google, what is Build Back Better?
Here's a summary from Wikipedia. Building Back Better is an approach to post-disaster recovery aimed at increasing the resilience of nations and communities to future disasters and shocks.
Thank you. Alexa, what is Build Back Better?
Here's something I found on the web. According to actionaid.org.uk, Build Back Better is the mantra for the international humanitarian community for reconstruction work after disasters.
Alexa, what is the Great Reset?
According to Wikipedia, The Great Reset, How New Ways of Living and Working Drive Post-Crash Prosperity is a book published in April 2010 by Richard Florida, a professor at the University of Toronto's Rotman School of Management. The book puts into context Florida's urban development theories with the financial crisis of 2007 to 2008 to describe the future of cities.
Hey Google, what is the Great Reset?
That's not a name I can respond to.
According to Google Books, The Corona Crisis and the Need for a Great Reset is a guide for anyone who wants to understand how COVID-19 disrupted our social and economic systems and what changes will be needed to create a more inclusive, resilient, and sustainable world going forward.
Perfect. Thank you, Google. So, if you are on the side of the Federation and believe that the future is going to look like Star Trek, you're pretty psyched about all these things. It's going to mean that nation states are going to be a thing of the past. There's going to be more of a focus on checks and balances internationally. Neighbors are going to help neighbors. There's going to be a global attempt at not bombing current and former adversaries into into the Stone Age, but trying to reintegrate them into a global family. And that's a, I don't mean a kumbaya thing, but an active, in the same goals of the United Nations. Hey Google, what was the initial goal of the United Nations forming?
On the website UN.org, they say, the United Nations is an international organization founded in 1945 after the Second World War by 51 countries committed to maintaining international peace and security, developing friendly relations among nations and promoting social progress, better living standards and human rights.
I can totally buy into that, can't you? I mean, we'll go into people who can't in a second, all right? But let me hear what Alexa has to say. Alexa, what's the goals
of... I pronounce that has, but I'm always working on how I say things and I might not have it right.
Alexa, what are the goals of the United Nations?
Here's something I found on Wikipedia. The Millennium Development Goals are the 8 targets of the United Nations. Did that answer your question?
No.
Thanks for your feedback.
Alexa, what were the founding goals of the United Nations?
Sorry, I'm not sure.
Well, I think that the initial answer was pretty darn good to me, but I would like to find out what the millennial goals are. Anyway, so if you're like me and you want international travel and you want to live anywhere on the planet and you you want to just jump on your motorcycle and traverse the globe, then, and if you like Star Trek, and if you think that Star Trek is a beautiful interpretation of the future, then you'll like this. If you're more of a Star Wars kind of guy, and you believe that what this means is an eventual, I know this is mixed metaphor, but if you feel like this is either the Empire taking over the planet and restricting you and your way of life and your dominion over your own your own home, your own town, your own village, your own city, your own state, then you're not going to like this. You're going to look at later episodes of Star Trek and be really concerned about the Borg, and you're going to see the United Nations as the Borg. You're going to see world government as the Borg, as opposed to just moving forward and getting along in a world where we're probably going to overpopulate the planet, and there'll probably be incredible natural disasters that happen as a result of overcrowding, right? Like coronavirus, let's assume it was not designed as sort of a hybrid disease combining HIV and flu and this and that in a deep laboratory in Wuhan, China, and let's assume that it was just a natural mutation resulting from wild animals in China being introduced, and like, you know, the way the weasels in the Nordic countries are now being catching COVID and then in it being mutated into them and then jumping back into the human population. Remember, we're animals. I mean, I know we as a culture feel like we have dominion over the world, but we're merely a very successful species on the face of the earth. Like, I try to remind people to get rid of their damn hubris, that we are as vulnerable to overcrowding diseases, to sicknesses, to population collapses as anybody else, as anything else on planet Earth, be it algae, be it cod, be it lemmings, perfect example, and so on and so forth. We all know that if you grow too many pigs in a pen, that they're not going to, not only are they going to attack and fight each other, but they will also start getting sores. They'll start getting sickness. The disease can become rampant. There are no boundaries and so forth. So these collapses are going to happen naturally. So I think on the most benign level, Build Back Better, and in general, the World Health Organization benignly perceived through the Federation eyes, it is a beautiful thing. It is an essential thing. The United Nations has done a lot of work internationally, right? However, if you perceive it on the other hand, where you see it as you are unwilling to give up anything that you currently have, and you believe that there's some sort of Borging or thought control associated with a Federation, which in fact will be a hierarchical vanguard of a proletariat, commanding and controlling the people of Earth in a very condescending, terrorizing way. The way one might say that the intelligentsia of America constantly calls deplorables deplorable. Like, are deplorables going to be happy with liberal elite people, as they call them, getting more power on Earth and getting a continuity of power across the entire globe, and then at a greater level having more power over them in terms of their condescension and insult towards who they are, right? You only see in Star Wars, you only see it's like we experience Star Trek in as though we're only experiencing the entire future of humanity from a nuclear class submarine, right? I mean, obviously, submariners are our best and brightest people in the entire country, but they're also soldiers, and they also have the kind of mindset where they can set off. Hey, Google. How many nuclear missiles are on a nuclear submarine?
On the website FAS.org, they say SSBN 726 class FBM submarines can carry 24 ballistic missiles with MIRV warheads that can be accurately delivered to selected targets from almost anywhere in the world's oceans.
So, photon torpedoes, nuclear missiles, whatever, 24 of them that they have the training to send out into the atmosphere to destroy enemy, right? I mean, if you think, if you put on evil spectacles while you're watching any episode of Star Trek from back in the first episodes from the 60s, all the way through all the episodes coming to the CBS All Access Star Trek Below Deck or Bottom Deck or whatever, you're going to see a level of sadism, a level of noblesse oblige, which is fancy French for a noble obligation that the intelligentsia and the people in power have towards, honestly, pedantically and condescendingly take care, like as if pablum delivered by spoon to the chubby face of a dumb baby. I mean, if you scratch an Etonian, Oxford, Stanford, Harvard, Princeton, Yale grad, if you scratch them enough, you will come up with any number of deep resentments and condescension and hostile anger that those people have towards the working class the working class of be it England or America. Deep condescension, deep pity. And I mean, if you haven't seen it every single day for the last 4 years in America, the endless resentment towards, I mean, basically, when you say Trump's base, you're insulting at least 71 to 74 million American voters, and that's a deep hate. That's not, oh, look at them, they know not what they do. It's not a sweet. It's not like the kind of sadness and love that a parent feels for someone of their own blood who is going through challenges and so forth. It's the resentment of that cackling patriarch who feels that he or she, matriarch, can use the wealth that they have as a millionaire / billionaire, the controls that they can have on the puppets that are their extended families and in-laws when it comes to being either included or excluded from the will. And depending on what side you are, either I've been attending Renaissance Weekend events, not recently, but I've been attending Renaissance Weekend events since 2001, 2002, New Year's down in Charleston. And I must tell you that I happily give the future of this country to those 3,000 families. I think that they do a damn good job. I think that if we have a future based on all of their merit, their love and compassion, that America will be nothing but better. However, if you come from a hostile point of view, where all you can see in their vision is restrictions to land where you like to hunt and drive and ride, and then taking away the guns that you're just going to kill yourself and others with, and if in order to make the world a better place, you have to give up too many of your own pleasures, you're going to see that future Which is honestly being run by those 3,000 families anyway, out of merit, not out of conspiracy. You're going to see the future as a real hellish hellscape. You're going to see the Borg in everybody's eyes. You're not going to see Commander Picard. You're not going to see Captain Picard, who, you know, is the most enlightened being ever portrayed on television. So it really depends on whether you think Captain Picard is the most evolved of all humans on planet Earth, or a cuck pussy, who, you know, should, go ahead and, die, by being scalded by, his tea to death. Anyway, come back after the break and we'll close up for now. I think that's enough to muddle in your brain, and I'll talk to you soon. Welcome back to Chris Cast, Season 1, Episode 40. 40? I gotta tell you, probably have heart disease because of all the Budweiser 40s that I drank growing up, thinking that it would be cool because I lived in D.C. So, celebrate pouring out a 40 for the 40th episode. Anyway, my name's Chris Abraham. I'm damn glad to meet you. And you can find me at chris@abraham.su. You can find me at chrisabraham.com. You can tweet me at chrisabraham. You can insta me at chrisabraham. You can connect to me on LinkedIn at linkedin.com/in/chrisabraham. You can YouTube me at chrisabraham. You could find me, you can text me or WhatsApp me at +1 202 352 5051. You can call me at that number, but I won't answer unless you're my bestie. And even so, I mean, why don't you email me or text me to let me know we're going to have a phone call soon? Blah, blah, blah. You can set up a date with me on the phone, on Zoom, or on Uber conferences at calendly.com/ChrisAbraham/15 or /30 or /60. We'll talk as long as we need to. And I guess that's it. Is that it? Tschüss. Auf Wiedersehen. A bientôt. A tout à l'heure. Hasta la vista. Ciao. And all those other things. If you like this crazy, crazy ramble, ramble, rattle, and as you are building back better, and as you are resetting for the new normal, I ask you to comment and write a review and write a comment and like me or vote me up or give me stars or whatever your platform does, and subscribe to me, and I will talk to you in the next episode, episode 41, and I'll talk to you soon. Ciao. Bye-bye.